mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this evening is taken from the second chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of knowing where to look. If things are still like they were when I was a kid, this past week or two, all over this great country of ours, there were children looking in closets, under beds, trying to get a peek at what would be under the tree in the morning. And maybe they got that peek, maybe they didn't. Sometimes just a matter of knowing where to look. And as we've learned from Johnny Lee, Waylon Jennings, and other lesser country and western singers, it's futile to look for love in all the wrong places. Sometimes it's just a matter of knowing where to look. And God, it's the same thing with God. You want to find God, you need to know where to look for God, and you need to be looking in the right places, not in the wrong places, to find God. Knowing that there is a God, but not knowing much more than that, the natural man looks for God. It's who we are. We are religious beings. We know there is a God and we look for God. A lot of Americans are looking for God. They want to know more about God. They want to get to know God, but sadly, tragically, they're looking for God in all the wrong places. They look in temples. They look in mosques. They look in buildings on which the name Christian appears, but in which remain only the trappings of Christianity, what Paul calls the form without the substance of religion. More and more, people, Americans, are looking within self for God. Finding there, within self, a God with whom they can agree almost perfectly on every point of doctrine. These places are the wrong places to look for God. Now that we're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Wow! It's been a long time since we've seen that thing. How long had it been since they'd seen that thing? Well, it had been a really, really long time since they'd seen that thing. That thing that appears to the shepherds, the thing accompanied by singing angels, the thing that struck great fear into their hearts, the thing called the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Nope. They hadn't seen that thing for quite a while, this glory of the Lord. Like for several hundreds of years, they hadn't seen this glory of the Lord. They used to see it all the time, the glory of the Lord, but lately, not so much. This thing called the glory of the Lord makes its first appearance in Exodus chapter 16, verse 7. Israel finds herself wandering in the wilderness of sin, having been, as you remember, delivered out of bondage in Egypt, quickly led by God to the promised land of Palestine, which land God had given to their father Abraham, which on the threshold of entering, they got scared of the giants. The giants were scary. They're about my size, scary. Forgetting that just a few months earlier, God had defeated for them the one superpower in the world, Egypt. They were found to be disbelieving. And so God, you recall, sent them into that 40-year time out in the wilderness. But God does not desert his people during that time in the desert, but he sends to them quail by day and manna by night to feed them so they don't have to complain anymore about being hungry. But they do anyway. Complain. And this seems to have annoyed God, this constant complaining. So he does something about it. He sends to them the glory of the Lord. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your murmurings against the Lord." And so it was that the glory of the Lord appears in the cloud by day and in the fire by night, day after day, week after week, month after month, for 40 years, guiding them through that maze of the wilderness of sin. And just what is this thing, the glory of the Lord? The glory of the Lord may be defined in the Old Testament as the recognizable location of God among his people. And throughout the Old Testament, that term glory of the Lord appears 33 more times, finding its location first in the tabernacle, that portable tent, but it was a nice tent, used until the building of Solomon's temple 500 years after the conquest of Palestine. And if you would have asked an Israelite, where is God in those days? He would have pointed first to the tabernacle and later on to the temple, to the person of the priest, to the location on top of the Ark of the Covenant between the wings of the cherubim. And he would say, right there, there's God. And that's the glory of the Lord, the recognizable presence, location of God among his people, right there. But then, in another 500 years, with the destruction of the temple, the ark simply disappears. It becomes part of the spoils of war. And contrary to what the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark would have us to think, it's not in a warehouse somewhere in the U.S., but it's almost certainly been destroyed, this Ark of the Covenant. And with the departure of the Ark of the Covenant, the glory of the Lord, that recognizable presence of God among his people, departs from Jerusalem, from Judea. And so, by the way, did the Jews taken off by the Persians to begin their Babylonian captivity were in about 500 BC, 570 BC. And Ezekiel speaks to those exiles about what has just happened to them, those who are in the Babylonian captivity. And Ezekiel says, "What has happened? The glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the house of God, the temple, and stood over the cherubim. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city." And then it's gone. And then it's gone. The glory of the Lord, the recognizable, visible presence of God among his people, is gone. But Ezekiel isn't finished. He speaks to Judah in their Babylonian captivity about a time when the glory of the Lord will be once more, speaking predictively about something that will happen in the future. He says, "The glory of the Lord came into the house, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face after 70 years. Some of those in captivity returned to Palestine, rebuilt Jerusalem, rebuilt the temple, but something was missing from the temple, the Ark of the Covenant. It was still gone. There was still no glory of the Lord, no more talk by any prophet about the glory of the Lord, the recognizable location of God among his people. Until now. Until now. They were shepherds, and you know, they were out in the pastures with their sheep, sitting around the old campfire, swapping shepherd stories, maybe a little bit of gossip, telling jokes that start with, "So the shepherd walks into a bar," talking politics, religion, Rocco from Brooklyn is sitting over there apart from the others cleaning his shepherd staff. Some had already dozed off, others getting ready to crash after a long day. And then, there it is. Just like that, there it is. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. There it is. After a hiatus of over 500 years, the glory of the Lord, the physical presence of God among his people, has returned. And it was not a pillar of fire, it was not a cloud, it was not an ark, the Ark of the Covenant, nor was it even housed in a building. The glory of the Lord, enough to make these shepherds afraid. If by afraid you mean it scared the bejibers out of them, the angel says, stop being afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, a miraculous thing, a sign to you. Here's the miracle. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's the sign. That's the miracle. A baby in a barn. Which also happens to be the glory of the Lord, the recognizable presence of God among his people. Then more angels, then the angels start singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men, sort of like what we did in Divine Service 1 first setting a little bit earlier. And after some time, the angels went back to heaven, and the shepherds turned to one another and said something to the effect of, what just happened here? And they figured it out, off to Bethlehem, David's town, and it says they found the babe, just as the angel had said they would. And having told others, they returned to work, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's back. The glory of the Lord, the recognizable presence of God among his people, which had been for so long absent, was found at that place, at that time, in a stable. In Bethlehem, in the body of the newborn Jesus. Luke noting that he is a sign, a miracle, the sign that God had promised to unbelieving Ahaz in Isaiah 7:14, the sign to which the angels had alluded, Emmanuel, God with us. Here in the body of that babe dwells God with us. Remember that one episode when Hank and Peggy Hill were looking for something and they found it? And Hank says, why is it that when you're looking for something, it's always the last place you look? And Peggy says, maybe it's because when you find what you were looking for, you stop looking. Looking for God? Of course, who isn't? It's what man does. It's who we are. And if man is looking for God in all the wrong places, he will not be found. God will not be found in self, nor in churches where they don't believe in him, nor in temple, which is no longer there, but that's okay, it's not needed, nor in the mosque. Looking in those places, if you're looking in those places, you're looking for God in all the wrong places. God can be found where the shepherds found God. The glory of the Lord, the recognizable presence of God among his people in the body of Jesus, which means Savior, because he saves us from our sins. He lives a perfect life, dies a perfect death for our sins, rises on the third day, and ascends into heaven where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And it's that same Jesus, the sign, the miracle, the glory of the Lord, the recognizable presence of God among his people, who continues to come to us, to be with us these days. The same Jesus who came to the shepherds as a babe now comes to us in his word and sacrament. The same Jesus who came to them as a babe finds you and marks you in holy baptism. That same Jesus, having found you, speaks to you words of absolution from Jesus himself in the absolution. And that same Jesus, having found you, is really present, Emmanuel, God with us, in, with, and under the elements of bread and wine in the sacrament. This is left over from the children's program, and the program made that theological point by taking those things out of the manger and putting them on here, replacing Jesus, the person who's not here anymore. He's in heaven. Yeah, sometimes it's just a matter of looking in the right places. You want to know where God is? See Jesus. You want to see Jesus? Hear his word and see that word attached to the bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar, to the water in baptism. Okay, you can stop looking now. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.